Hi, this is Kit Bond speaking to you from our nation's capital. Welcome to this edition of Washington Listening Post. We're having an on-the-record conversation with three Missouri journalists talking about national issues that affect your lives. With me today are Bob Pretty from MissouriNet, Brett Bloom with Camo X in St. Louis, and Ray Reed with KCMO in Kansas City. Next week, many of us will sit down with family and friends to enjoy some turkey, some good vegetables, pumpkin pie to celebrate Thanksgiving. But unless Congress acts now and acts soon, many of our fellow Americans might have a lot less to be thankful for. Right now, hundreds of thousands and even millions of auto workers and auto-related jobs are at risk. Folks like Steve Healy, who works at the Ford Auto Assembly Plant in Kansas City. Steve's worried about supporting his wife and daughter if Congress fails to act and the Kansas City plant closes and he suddenly finds himself out of work. The same problem happens all down the line at auto dealerships and auto parts manufacturers in every part of Missouri. Here in Washington, there's a lot of talk about government response, but talk won't help more than 220,000 Missouri workers whose jobs are at risk if the auto industry goes under. I'm not one to sit around a jawbone problem, which is right now I'm working to bring Republicans and Democrats together on a bipartisan compromise I've drafted that will protect millions of American jobs, protect taxpayers, and require the auto industry to prove their long-term financial health. Now, a lot of folks don't think the government should intervene in the private sector, and normally I agree. I don't think it's a good way to be going. I believe that government involvement in the private sector is troublesome, and but at the same time, I believe this is a crisis we cannot ignore. But I also agree that the auto industry should not get a blank check. This is a bridge to somewhere, not a bridge to nowhere, which is why my proposal includes tough requirements. Number one, the obvious ones, taxpayers must be protected to not only with the loan, but to have to share in the profits when the auto industries regain profitability. Strong taxpayer protections, executive compensation limits, no golden parachutes, etc. But the key part is that my proposal requires each auto company, before they get their loans, prove to the Secretary of Commerce with the oversight of other department cabinets in Washington that their long-term financial health is achievable. They have to show a way back to profitability, and not only that, they must provide a system of steps that they're going to take, timelines where they can accomplish it, and specific goals that they must meet. And the Secretary will give them money, but will not continue to give them money unless and until they meet those conditions. So under that scenario, I believe it's the right way forward. Responsible action to protect the millions of jobs at stake. And having laid that out, now let's find out what Bob Pretty's questions are about it.
Let me ask you about another part of the bailout plan, Senator, and that is the money that's going to banks. There's an article in the Springfield paper this morning that quotes the head of the Great Southern Bank Corporation, which apparently is going to get about $60 million from the Treasury. He says the Treasury only gives the program to healthy banks. That kind of raised my eyebrows. I was under the impression this was for banks that weren't healthy. Can you?
That's a good question. And I, the bailout plan or the rescue plan, the rescue plan that we passed was designed to shore up banks and credit institutions. Now they have already let Lehman Brothers fold. That was an investment bank. The Federal Deposit Insurance Company, or the insurers of the banks and savings and loans, are dealing with the banks that are failing. But there are many banks, as Secretary Paulson told us yesterday, that are put in stress by reason of the credit crisis, and they have to demonstrate that they are able to work out their problems and get back on the way it's run. Nobody has been happy with the way the program has been run. There are lots of unanswered questions, and regrettably, the Treasury is making it up as it goes along. So we've had about three different changes, and Congress is busily engaged in oversight through the Financial Services Committee to try to find out which way they're going and what their objectives are.
Senator, looking at the bigger picture, should Americans be concerned about the shift in strategy of how to spend that $700 billion as kind of a bait and switch?
Well, that's kind of what I think. I argued on the basis of what they told me, they're going to buy up troubled assets, which I thought meant that they would go to banks and others who had the subprime mortgages that were way below water. They had to be valued on their books at zero under the mark-to-market accounting proposals, and they would get the holders of that paper to write the loans down to an underlying value, which is somewhere between 100 cents on the dollar and zero, and buy those up to put money back in, and also to work to keep homeowners in their homes. And Secretary Paulson said that was not his intent. They wanted the GSEs like Fannie and Freddie to do that work. He said that the system needed credit infusions. I think we did our part to provide him the assistance, and I'm disappointed that the Treasury isn't able to follow the plan they laid out for us.
Senator, shifting us back to the automakers, a bit ago I spoke with your colleague from Kansas, Sam Brownback, who's pointing out there's already $25 billion in a loan approved for automakers for making environmentally friendly vehicles. He's suggesting releasing those purse strings and allowing that money to be used to help. Your thoughts on
that? Well, the good news for my friend Sam is that's precisely what we're doing. That's precisely what we're doing. And my proposal they will pay back the money that will go into that fund, but we need to use those monies that have already been appropriated. Frankly, there may not be any auto companies to use those dollars if we don't provide this plan right now. And not only do the companies go down, but everybody in the chain, the rental car companies, the auto dealerships, they're all under stress in Missouri. Auto, used cars, dealers, the people who service cars. That's why there are 220,000 jobs in Missouri at risk. And while nobody likes to have the government involved, this is the best way and the cheapest way to avoid much greater costs to the economy, to the federal government, and to the workers who might lose the jobs. I'm glad that my good friend Sam supports this approach, and we'll look forward to his help in getting it passed on the floor.
Senator, earlier today we talked with Senator McCaskill, and she said she and Senator Grassley are introducing a bill calling for more oversight of the total bailout program, the $700 billion. What, in your view, is the congressional oversight role in this package, and should there be something more than what you already have?
Well, we've already got the Financial Services Committee set up, and I don't happen to serve on them, but they are holding hearings, and that's what they're supposed to do. I don't know what additional oversight you need. We need those committees to do their job, and that's obviously we all are following it, but there are committees that have the responsibility, and they've brought officials in to ask them tough questions, and Paulson was before the committees, and he came before a Republican policy lunch. We asked him a lot of tough questions. My good friend Pat Roberts asked some tough questions at lunch of Secretary Paulson. But hey, we'll always look at proposals to see if they can help in any way.
Senator, quickly, what comes to mind when you hear the phrase Hillary Clinton for Secretary of State?
Oh, that's interesting. I think that Mrs. Clinton has some good experience, but she's no question she is very intelligent. She's had experience in dealing with it. She's savvy. She's going to have some challenges with her spouse's active involvement with governments throughout the world. And if I think there's a lot of things going on that may make it difficult for the president-elect and Mrs. Clinton to get together. If they do, I'm sure that the hearings will explore not only her strengths, but the challenges that may exist. Well, thank you very much, Bob Breton Ray. This has been Kit Bond reporting to you from the U.S. Senate. We wish you and your listeners the happiest of the holiday season, good New Year's, and we'll look forward to talking to you in the new year.